look, everything in Washington has been a lie. Weapons of mass destruction.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Release the Kraken!
3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
Thunder! Thunder!
Are not fit anymore for the 21st century. It has laid bare the fundamental lack of social cohesion, fairness, inclusion, and equality. In short, we need a great reset.
If they asked us all 20 years ago to start reducing the population, and by starting with ourselves, well, no one would step forward and volunteer. So they do it. And that was the whole point of creating the Royal Institute for International Affairs, a parallel government, because they said that democracy and the bickering with politicians and, to say, the irreconcilable factors amongst groups within society were just too different, too much at odds, and they were at loggerheads with each other. They could not get their big agenda through. Therefore, the parallel government would not be responsible to the public, and it could steamroll ahead and bring in their new world order.
Hydra has been secretly feeding Christ, reaping war. And when history did not cooperate, history was
too high. Here's what we know. We know that the people who are dying from this disease are 11-fold more likely to pass if they are...
What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Later. I like to play with things a while before annihilation.
But friend, you are my only friend.
What the hell are you doing with this creep, huh, Benny? What did it for you?
It is better to be the right hand of the devil than in his path. As long as I serve him, I am immune.
From what?
Pitch cash a lot.
What did you say?
I don't want to tell you. You just hurt me so
much. Now, as we struggle out of the shadow of our malefactors, welcome back to the light.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am
I'm vengeance.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. For at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you have been willing to trade all the years from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that you can take our lives, that you can never take our freedom? Every man dies. Not every man truly lives. You, we must fight for that authentic freedom and live, my friend. By God, we must live. And with the Holy Spirit as your shield and Christ as your sword, may you join St. Michael and all the angels in defending God and setting Lucifer and his henchmen straight right back to hell where they belong. All storms. Yes. The storm is upon us. But not without Jesus, our rudder.
The dark clouds hanging over our government can be lifted and replaced with a bright future. But it all depends on whether we let the corrupt media decide our future or whether we let the American people decide
who are capable
our
of
such
people.
Crimes against our nation are capable of anything. For them, it's a war. And for them, nothing at all is out of bounds. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation. Believe me. And this will be our last chance.
And I've seen people quitting.
Hey, run! Run!
Dale! Did you have a plan if he responded?
I didn't think that far ahead.
Welcome to Liberty's Thunder, 1,300 hours over 10 years of irreverent, relevant, and radioactive truth with a bite. I'm your host, Thundersaurus Rex, and this is old school pirate radio. No script, no co-host, no super chats, no mods with bad audio, interruptions, colorful metaphors, and a glitchy dashboard featuring giant squids, invisible dinosaurs, foul-mouthed pirates pissed off because somebody drank all the rum. Brought to you by the letter Z. Prepare to shit the bed as your dog steps on a bee. The world is mad. It is also quite insane, but mostly mad. I'm quite mad. So I went to the ocean and had a great time. Then I made a terrible mistake and came back to the Imperial Swamp and encountered alpacas, drunk rock and roll pirates, Hollywood vampires, government-issued zombies, and one crazy evil Aquanet bitch. Oh, and the Speaker of the House, who is a complete batshit nutter. So is cow-faced little Kevin. In fact, you know what? A monkeypox on both your houses. All right, what the fuck are we talking about today? Why, God? Why am I doing this? Call in number 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. I might blow V8 for an hour or so. If you like chatting with me, give a call. Just say something interesting or at least ask a good question. What's the show title? Irreconcilable Dialectics. Okay. In the dialectics of the modern world, we are being synthesized into oblivion, and a desire for a false peace and tolerance is irreconcilable with truth and human fulfillment. The dialectics are accelerating and breaking down, and vaunted transhumanist singularity swiftly approaches, bringing death in its wake. This is a time for choosing between irreconcilable options. This versus not this equals the new this. Thesis versus antithesis equals synthesis. Problem, reaction, solution. It is synthetic, but it is necessary, at least in the particulars of human action. Hence, we employ Aristotelian logic in our practical affairs, and in this sense, dialectics are applicable. However, the practicality is only useful in a strict utilitarian mode due to the endemic corruption of man and his city, sowing chaos and entropy in the cosmos. Dialectics are necessary because the vision, which pits this against that, is dialectical in and of its nature. The body versus the soul, light versus darkness, life versus death, pleasure versus pain, left versus right, you against yourself. The easy lie is to deem matter evil and spirit good. But that subdivision is a lie. For Lucifer is spirit, and he was made good, but he chose anti-good. And your body, which includes your brain, is made of matter. And you too were made good. And, presuming that you were breathing, you are good, but you are not good enough. This is the fundamental and foundational, well, it's the crux of the matter. It's the fundamental and foundational matter is the crux of the problem. How do you see the cause of the problem? How you see the cause of the problem, in other words, how you perceive it, how your perception of what the cause of the problem is, will dictate how you understand the problem and what you believe is the solution to the problem. But the problem itself is not dialectical, and hence the dichotomy in which we find ourselves. Capiche? See, the problem is we do not know, and in some sense we can't know, how the will operates. Volition is itself a mystery, because there are some things we choose, and yet we appear to not be choosing, and others which we cannot choose, and we appear to be choosing. But to quote the Deer Hunter, this is this. This ain't something else. This is this. You know, boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. But see, we're convinced that our ill-begotten Promethean gains permit us to employ alchemy and transmute matter and even pneumatic substance into that which we choose, or more properly, our ruling oligarch's choice, and to transmogrify our own identity into some autonomous individual substance enslaved to absolute liberty. What does that mean, Rex? Yeah, I said enslaved to absolute liberty, which, you know, according to the modern mind, is called self-actualization. If you buy into this whole, you know, self-actualization bullshit, which to some degree we kind of all do, it's the permeation of the cultural milieu in which we find ourselves, like a fish that doesn't know it's swimming in fucking water. Until it gets out of the water, then it realizes it can't breathe. That's, you know, Maslow's hierarchy, self-actualization, which is really being enslaved to absolute liberty. See, they tell us stuff like, you can do anything you set your mind to. Really? All right. Jump out the fucking window and think you can fly. See what happens. The idea that if we desire something hard enough, if we really wish hard enough, the universe will respond and deliver. That's the secret. The secret lie. It's a diabolical deceit. You're not a ghost in the machine thinking yourself into existence. You know, I think, therefore, I am. Fucking stupid when you really think about it. It sounds profound and intellectually astute, like deep philosophical thinking. I think, therefore, I am. Cogito ergo sum. It's deep, so deep. Really? Because I hate to tell it, but for the most part, there's very little thinking going on, and yet there you are. 7 billion of you. But it's not, you aren't you because you think. You're you because that's the way you were made. Thinking is a feature of being created, not the other way around. But that's what they want you to believe.
Who are they, Rex?
Well, the liars. They want you to believe that because it makes you manipulable. Arrogant, prideful, which makes you easily manipulable. That's the secret. You're not a ghost in the machine. You can't think yourself into existence. It's nonsense. And you can't wish hard enough for the universe to give you what you want. You know, and the dialectical thinking that's born of that, the whole, you know, ghost in the machine, the soul versus the body. I'm a spiritual soul trapped in a body of matter. I'm really not religious, but I'm spiritual. It's so stupid, but it's spewed about by allegedly thinking people as some kind of profound anti-establishment, I won't be controlled by organized religion, I'm going to find the truth beyond what the official story is and all this other crap. I'm a free thinker. It's nonsense, and it's created a heck of a lot of insane people, and they live among us, and it's pretty bad. We're all tainted by it. what you are is a creature of God who is three persons. And you're made in his image and likeness. Now, even that isn't adequate, right? Even that's an inadequate statement because how can I be made in the image and likeness of God? What does that even mean? I mean, you know, you sometimes say these things, you've heard them a million times, you repeat them, but what does that even mean? Well, it's a bad analogy, as all analogies are, because when it comes to talking about God, because God is beyond, very beyond, totally transcendent. God is even beyond transcendence itself. He's completely unknowable. And that sounds preposterous, although that is precisely the position that a rational thinking agnostic / atheist would posit, that we can't know God. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong. But that's an incomplete sense of understanding. Because he is completely unknowable, but the God who is beyond understanding is manifest in his creation, and he reveals himself. That's how we can know him. He has revealed himself as the all-holy Trinity, the all-holy Trinity of persons, and he made you a person. God is not dialectical. If anything, and again, like I said, he's beyond description, he's trialectical. The trichotomy of God is reflected in his creature. For the creature for which this universe was made. You're the creature for which this entire universe was created. The human person who is free and responsible. Modern thinking has us thinking in terms of rights preceding duties, but the fact of the matter is that your freedom, which is contingent upon your dignity as a creature of God made in his image and likeness, also makes you responsible to your Creator. You are free and responsible, and composed of body, soul, and spirit, integrated, complete, broken, and offered healing so as to partake in life, the very divine life of God in his energetic manifestation in our reality as he made it. Anything other than this revealed fact and the wisdom imparted by the Holy Spirit misses the mark and compounds error upon error, inducing us to choose against the life of glory to glory. This revealed truth, this revealed fact, is irreconcilable with error. There can be no synthesis of truth and error, save for a synthetic illusion, which is essentially forever death. Those are the facts. Whether you like them or not, whether you believe them or not, whether they comport with your sensibilities or not, your opinion is irrelevant. Those are the facts. You're free. You have free choice. You are the director of your own will. The problem is that your will is weak and corrupt, so it easily falls under the seductive sway of the spirit of the age, the ancient spirit who prowls around in the shadows of the New World Order, seeking souls to devour, by institutionalizing and propagating the deceit that your own self-induced individual apotheosis is at hand if you simply consume and accumulate and penetrate and dominate with lustful abandon. It's fun. I mean, let's face it, consuming, accumulating, and penetrating, dominating, it's fun until it isn't, See, it entices you, but it never satisfies you. How much is enough? How much more intense can sensible pleasure be? Enlightenment is just beyond the next intellectual delight, so chase it. Manipulate your own virtual meta-reality. What we're going to do is put you in the metaverse. Come on. Do you really want to be in a metaverse with a guy that looks and sounds like Zuckerberg? That's like being trapped in a room with Amber Heard. It's a very frightening fucking idea. But that's the influencers, the online influencers. They're all teaching you to manipulate your own virtual meta-reality under the pseudo-belief that you are your own autonomous being. When in fact, you're under the sway of one far more intelligent and cunning and invisible, and if you're not careful, imperceptible. But you are under his sway. So you look in the mirror, you see what you wish, as you yearn to fill the nothingness with something. And the devil smiles back at you. And a lot of people are going to fall for this. I mean, those who end up trapped in the goon pods, plugged into the altered states of consciousness induced by pharmacological and electro-digital manipulation will volunteer. They will choose their fate. They will make a free choice to be slaves. They choose death as they search for blissful oblivion. This is what we call modern, enlightened, technocratic civilization. And it is already here. You're living in it. Prometheus stole fire from the gods and gave us techne. And it's reaching its logical conclusion. See, the Promethean principle will promise the artificial synthesis of a post-dialectical eternal state of restful peace and the nonstop kinetic frenzy of limitless pleasure, which is purely intelligible experience masquerading as a sensible state. In other words, your rest, your peace is found in being bombarded with pleasure that is perceived by your mind, inducing you to feel it in your body, even though there's nothing actually there for you to experience or feel. Like in the Matrix, you know, Neo was in the coon pod, and he was under the impression he was living in, you know, the late 20th century. Cypher wanted to go back and eat the steak, even though he knows it's a digital steak because it tastes better than the real food in the real world. That kind of thing. That's the metaverse. That's the artificial virtual reality that is going to be piped into your mind. In many ways, it already is. And it's becoming more and more so. And it's funny because it's accelerating while it's also kind of going in fits and starts at the same time. But it's here. And the technology that's available is beyond even what you know. They've been dicking around with MKUltra for a long time. You know, MKUltra type things, okay? And with the digital technology, the pharmacological technology, it is going to be quite possible soon to put people into a state where they are living in an unreality without even being aware of it. I mean, even you know, your great free speech advocate and super retarded genius Elon Musk is telling you that, you know, it's entirely possible it was created like a simulation, like, you know, tens of millions of years ago, and we're living in it. No, that's nonsense. That's not what's happening. But kind of inducement to believe it's happening is what will make it possible for them to actually do it and put you in it and have you fooled by it. But see, the only post, but it's not going to happen. In the sense, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible to induce some to do it, but as far as a global phenomenon, it's not going to happen, because the only post-dialectical state that will actually be delivered is unending death. It's not going to be possible to do this. Matrix was a movie. Yes, it was an analogy. There was a lot of problems with it, but nevertheless, it's a good analogy in that regard. But it's, and I haven't seen the most recent one because I just refuse to. All the movies are so fucking woke, it's ridiculous. But I might go see the new Top Gun just because it's like Team America, World Police. It'll be fun, a fun ride. But the idea that you'll be able to do that to people is not real. If you do that to people, they will die. And some people are going to refuse, and as H.G. Wells told us, millions of people will die protesting against the New World Order. This was over 100 years ago he said this. Death is the only thing they'll deliver. We're at that point of irreconcilable dialectics. You can't synthesize life and death. It's one or the other. And the most universal principle of the modern world and its Western values is the omnipresence of the cult of death. Under the dazzling lights of constant neurodigital bombardment, but make no mistake about it, it is a cult of death. Now, a lot of you know this. In fact, I would argue that most of you listening to me know this, otherwise you probably wouldn't have bothered to find this low-tech internet radio show that no one's ever heard of, except those who follow Bond Robin. It's Archpriest Simeon Elias on Facebook, Bond Robin on Gab, his channels, which often feature the show, are on Rumble, BitChute, and Gab TV. Rex is still banned from Zuckbook for another week, and most of those who follow me there probably have no fucking idea because they're too fucking lazy to check me out elsewhere and just want Zuckberg to curate my shit into your feed. But I'm not on there. I said something unauthorized. I don't remember what it was, but they didn't like it, and they removed me, and they'll do it again. But Andrew Torba over at Gab has not fucked with me. It's truly a free speech platform. Rex underscore Christie on Gab. Get on Gab. I need more followers. I don't know why you people haven't found me yet. What the hell was I talking about? Oh, yeah, most of you know this, sure. But see, we also happen to be us on the, quote, so-called right, for lack of a better geolocation on the false political spectrum, you know, tend to focus on the problem being government, which, you know, is somewhat true, especially now. But your problem is not really government, per se. Your problem is not government, and it's not commercial corporations either, technology, or any other public institution. Your fundamental problem is church. Yep. Well, Rex, you're getting religious again. Well, you know, we're reaching the, quote, singularity. Everything is going to converge. The crux of the matter is church. And your problem is church. An assembly of zombies who profess Christ with their mouths and the order of skull and bones in their hearts. Ponder that. An assembly of zombies with Christ on their lips and the order of skull and bones in their hearts. See, only the mystical body of Christ can save you. Only the eternal empire of God can give you rest. It's always been like this. Have you read the book of Genesis? You should. It's a pretty profound book. In the West, they call it the Proto-Evangelion. Actually, I don't know if it's just the West, but anyway, the first gospel. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's from the Gospel of St. John, the theologian. But it echoes Genesis, and not just in some kind of chronological manner. So you're taught that Genesis is the mythical poetry of the origins of man, but, you know, it's not really what happened. It's just a story, even though archaeological evidence to the contrary and the written record is challenging that mythical notion. And that John's apocalypse, which means unveiling, revelation, is some kind of future prophecy of the, quote, end times. And yes, it's true, history is linear. It had a beginning when God created time. And it has a sort of end, if we use the word end in the right way, not end as in it stops, but end as in it's the telos, the goal, which is the eschaton. And that's eternal. And from now until the parousia, the second coming of Christ, we're in a state of permanent eschatological tension. So Genesis and the apocalypse are a simultaneous reality that transcends the linear history of time into the next aeon. I know some of this shit is pretty deep. I get it, and maybe you didn't tune in to hear this. Well, tough shit, that's apparently what's on my mind, so that's what's coming out of my mouth, and you're going to have to live with it. Either tune it out or continue listening. I'm not really interested in whether you want it or not. I'm just going to do it. Hopefully you like it. You know, a little feedback would help. I don't have a co-host. I don't have anybody to tell me, hey, Rex, stop, you're frightening people. Or any corrective measures here. So feedback would be good. You don't have to give it to me now if you're not listening. If you are, most of you don't listen to the show live. You listen to it later, especially on Bond's channels. But, you know, you can still give me feedback. I'm around. Like I just told you, Rex_Christie at Gab. If you have to do it on Facebook, at least for the next week, just hit John Rolfe up. Rex should be back in 6 or 7 days. I don't know for how long, because I'm not going to stop saying things that they don't like. Genesis set things in motion, right? And I think that's called kinesis, right? But it's motion, and it put us in the issue, because after the fall, right? It took us from that trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit, towards perfection, to kind of a dichotomy, a dialectical tension between our own ego and God. That's the tension in which we find ourselves. And the only solution to the dialectical problem that was manifest in that moment and has just spread and become worse was God tapping in to the matrix, which he did throughout history, but chiefly and at the center of history at the incarnation. That was the emptying, the impoverishment of himself to condescend to enter into the creaturely abode he made for us in order to draw us out and heal us from what we have wrought, the impoverishment of corruption. It has to be transfigured by the all-holy. That's what the incarnation is about, and it is the central point of all history. It is the most important thing, and it's a living reality that you have to tap into. Now, I know you didn't tune in here for a sermon, but the bottom line is that these fundamental issues are the things that dictate how you view all the particulars about which we flood our infosphere. And you got to get these things right. And believe me, it's very difficult to do, even though it's extremely simple. Because we get in our own way. I've been doing it for 5 decades myself. It was not meant to be so, but it is. Hence, we struggle toward the eternal eschaton. We are in the end times. That's absolutely true. Just not in the way a lot of you think about it. We're in the end times. We've been in the end times since Christ's ascension. Just something actually, you know, worthy of contemplation as we celebrate the ascension this week on the biblical calendar, on our way to Pentecost. And this is important because all of the problems that are given to you piecemeal in the term of financial economics, politics, culture, society, interpersonal relations, all of these things, these are problems that are part of the fundamental wound which we all suffer. And if you don't understand them that way, it's very difficult to navigate them in anything other than a sub-level of reality where the efficacy of your decisions will be fleeting, haphazard, right? Because the world in which you live, in this age, in this place, especially in the so-called, quote, West, is a world of universal principles. The universal principles of the West, the World Economic Forum, the New World Order, are the manifestations of, I'm going to use a butchism here, of the Judeo-Luciferian cosmic ethos. Under the term Judeo-Christian values, and concomitantly, secular Western values. Or liberal Western values, in a dialectic of two primary deceits. This is a dialectic between two primary deceits. You seem to think the religious view and the secular view are pitted against each other, or that they are different spheres in different contexts. There is no such thing. In fact, the term secular itself was really kind of opposed to the sacerdotal, or you could consider the life of those of us outside of the monastery, right, including priests and bishops and such. But, you know, in the modern world, we have a different version, and it's this false notion of the state of nature being the secular, and then, you know, someone invented God and imposed the religious onto that secular clean slate. Fucking nonsense. And look, if you believe this, I don't fault you. I fell for it, okay? So, you know, it's a clever deceit, but it is fucking nonsense. But what you have is this dialectic between these two primary deceits of the Judeo-Christian value and the secular Western value. See, one is value-free and pretending to be neutral, and the other is exactly the same, just pretending to be theological. It's actually... we say Western civilization, but really it's Christianity or Christendom. Well, to some degree, that's true, and in some context, that might be true. But really, if you want to have a productive discussion about where the fuck we are and why everything is so fucking crazy right now, okay? If you want to, you know, understand why you feel insane as the world around you grows more insane, it's more proper to talk of Christianities, than it is to talk about Christianity. Christianity's plural. Because within the modern post-Renaissance humanist West, Christianity entered into wrong belief and fragmented along ideological lines under the pretext of a multiplicity of spiritualities. I'm so spiritual, but I'm not really into organized religion. But all of these things are united in the man Jesus of Nazareth, right? Who's Jesus of Nazareth? Everybody knows him. I mean, you know, he's actually more popular than the Fab Four from Tavistock, believe it or not. For you youngsters who aren't aware of the Fab Four from Tavistock, they were like one of the first boy bands. Look them up. Jesus, who you know, some people believe is God, but many believe he is simply a sage, or a rabbi, or a model, or a type, one of many contradictory prophets sent by some amorphous principle which can be molded into whatever we desire. Just take a look at an Andrew Lloyd Webber play. Tell me what the fuss is all about. That's really what you're talking about. It's Christianities. Because it's not really the mystical body, the assembly of those baptized into the mystical body who have the right belief in the God-man, Jesus Christ, the eternal and only begotten Son of God the Father, incarnate in the flesh, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is the centrality of everything that this world was built for. It isn't one choice among many, but the trick is that there are so many, and that the West has become powerful and influential, and basically America has permeated our culture all around the globe, that we have to spread the gospel of Christianities, putting a Christian veneer on all of the clever errors that get smuggled into your thinking, believing, acting, knowing, so that you can be easily led astray. For those of you who believe that the Bible, the scriptures, are the word of God, it says that even the elect could be fooled by the son of perdition, by Lucifer, by the beast. How can that be? This is how. A false Christianity . See, this is what happens when I watch a Bond Robin video before I do a show. It's very dangerous. Butch, you're responsible for this mess. Not all of it. I don't blame you, but you definitely got the noggin moving. Butch Robinson did an upload today. You should check it out. It's a very good video. Actually, all of them are good, and I was actually going back to respond to any comments left on my last show that he put on his channels. And he's been a busy bee, which is why I don't have to do shows too often. So make sure you check that stuff out, and keep in mind that me and Bond, we're not the most popular kids on the internet. So only you can help people find the content. So it's really up to you. I'm just going to sit here and run my mouth for an hour or so. You have to decide what you're doing with it. Gator, I see you writing books in my chat. There's no way I can read those while I am broadcasting, but I will get to them and respond. If I had a co-host, I could read them while the co-host was bloviating, but that's not going to be possible today. What was I talking about? I got sidetracked, distracted, but I was probably talking about insanity and multiple Christianities, and that's really where we are. So, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to stare into the void from which you came and project the reality of your preference, because that's really what we're talking about here. You take the bits and pieces of Christianity that appeal to you and twist them to manifest your egotistic idea of what it should be under the guise that you're following Christ. It's really a projection of your preference. And in fact, we do this with everything. This is what we call freedom in the modern world. Really, think about it. Actually, here, let me tell you why this happens. It's not going to make you happy, but I'm going to tell you why it happens. I'm going to quote here from fucking Slayer. Close your eyes, look deep in your soul, step outside yourself, and let your mind go. Frozen eyes stare deep in your mind as you die. Close your eyes and forget your name. Step outside yourself and let your thoughts drain. As you go insane, you go insane. That's from Seasons in the Abyss, fucking Slayer. And Seasons in the Abyss, which, if you like metal, it's a great fucking album, but you got to listen to this shit with a grain of salt. Because Seasons in the Abyss is a Crowleyan ode to the universal deceit of the modern world. What's Crowleyan? As in Aleister Crowley. In fact, here, you know what? I think I have one. Let's quote from the Thelemic tyrant himself, because I'm sure it'll make Slayer's song come to life for you. Here it is. This is Aleister Crowley, the most evil man in the world. This doctrine, he's talking about Thelema, right? The doctrine of, you know, the devil. This doctrine is extremely difficult to explain, but it corresponds more or less to the gap in thought between the real, which is ideal, and the unreal, which is actual. In the abyss, all things exist. Indeed, at least in, it says here in posse, I assume he means potentia, at least in potentia, but are without any possible meaning, for they lack the substratum of spiritual reality. They are appearances without law. They are thus insane delusions. That's Aleister Crowley talking about the abyss, which I think was Nietzsche's prognostication. They are appearances without law. They are thus insane delusions. And what is the law that gives manifestation and meaning to these appearances? According to Aleister, do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. How very liberal of him. Liberal. Yeah, liberal, from the root word libertas, liberty. As in classical liberalism, what today we would call libertarianism, which, you know, runs the spectrum from left to right, conservative to progressive, and only on that spectrum. You live among the ruins of the city that holy men built, and you are in a state of voluntary unfreedom. And we call that liberalism. And that applies as much, if not more so, to you fucking conservatives than it does to liberal progressive crazies who are so absurd that you can't even parody them anymore. They are parodies of themselves. But this is it. You live among the ruins of the city that holy men built, and you are in a state of voluntary unfreedom. And let's be clear, the strain has been there since the fall. And if you're not sure what I mean by the fall, we're talking about the doctrine of the fall of man, the disobedience of our first parents that deprived the rest of us of the grace to become perfect, until it was restored and recapitulated in Christ at the incarnation. But this strain has really been with us since the fall, and that dialectical tension that was created by having to reason and receive information, and rather than knowing good, we know good and evil. And so we've got to balance things out and, you know, make decisions, and it's difficult and messy because our minds are corrupted and weak. That's the state we're in. That's when the cosmos was tilted toward the abyss into which we are falling at an increasingly swift rate, and the velocity of violence is intensifying. But from a historical sense, we can narrow our current predicament to the rise of the Carolinians in the 9th century, slowly building until we were inoculated with Neoplatonism and the hermetic cover of the Kabbalistic Spiritism, yielding the Adventus Age of Humanism in the 15th century through the Renaissance and the Reformations. Yeah, there was no reformation of Western Christianity. There were reformations, really deformations, but it's almost like, and for those of you who have never had to use a photocopying machine, you might have to look up on the YouTubes and the interwebs and see if you can find one, but you used to make a photocopy of a document, and then if you made a photocopy of that photocopy, it just got more and more inaccurate in appearance and integrity every time you made a copy of a copy. So the reformations were like, you know, photocopies of Roman Catholicism, which itself is a bad photocopy of Christianity. I'm probably upsetting some of you, but, you know, I really don't give a fuck. I'm just here to tell you the truth. You have to do with it what you think is best. You've got choices. You have to make them. But really, the Reformation, the Renaissance and the Reformations led to the so-called Enlightenment. And the principles of the Enlightenment, brought to you by the Lightbearer himself, led to industrialization and the technocratic state emergent with the next civilizational catastrophe, right? The technocratic state is going to be emergent with the next civilization catastrophe. We're kind of in that era right now of catastrophe after catastrophe to bring about this technocratic state. And the environmental effluence of a return to nature. Oh, yeah. It's just neo-pagan, earth-worshipping, animist nonsense repackaged in a scientific way with a veneer of intellectual and emotive language to get you to return to nature under some kind of virtue signaling that you somehow care about the environment more than all the other people. It's kind of pathetic, but it is quite effective. And this return to nature, it's really a twisted nature of techno-magic manipulation. That's really what you're, quote, returning to, right? State of nature. Fucking idiots. I mean, Gaia is rising, and she is a heck of a bitch. She really is. She's going to peg the shit out of you. Now, this is not some kind of call, you know, Rex, you've abandoned politics and Trump and making sense for this religious stuff. Well, no, it's kind of always been there from the beginning, 10 years ago. Now, let's be honest. Over a 10-year period, I've said some things that are probably off the wall, batshit crazy. Did I believe them at the time? Most probably. But if you're not growing wiser, then you're wasting time because you're growing older. And if you're not growing wiser, then growing older is a pain in the ass. So you'd better be growing wiser. I know I have. 10 years ago, I might have been talking to you from a libertarianish, limited electoral politics perspective with a veneer of neo-Catholicism trending towards trad-cat Catholicism. Sure. There's going to be some weird things in there that I go back and if I went back and listened to it, I'd be like, why? What the fuck was this guy thinking about? Today I'm talking to you as an Orthodox catechumen, so my perspective is going to be different. Now, am I sincere? I was then. I am now. The difference is I'm wiser now, I hope, by the grace of God. You still cuss too much, Rex. Well, fuck off. But we're not calling for some kind of theocratic state or an empire of Christianity. I mean, I'm not saying that that wouldn't be cool, but there's just no fucking way that that's going to happen, not in my lifetime, because we're so far from that. You can't impose government and culture on a people who aren't fertile soil for receiving it. Okay? Christians, over 200 years, to sufficiently evangelize the pagan Roman Empire to the point where divine intervention at the Milvian Bridge led Constantine to conquer and reunite the East and the Western empires under the banner of Christianity. And in 313, with the Edict of Milan, he lifted the restriction on Christianity. Therefore, it was no longer a persecuted religion or, quote, subset of Judaism as it was perceived. And it wasn't for, was really, I think, the next emperor who made it the official religion of the empire. I think until Julian the Apostate tried to restore paganism. But, you know, especially under Emperor Justinian, you know, Christianity flourished in the empire. So it's not that it can't be done. It's just that right now the modern world is so sick that you can't make this happen rapidly. You have to change the culture and the people before you can change the whole structure. That doesn't mean we can't fix a lot of the fucking problems that we have within the framework that we have if we have enough guts to admit that the old framework is dead. The Republic doesn't exist. The West has fallen, and it's not worth saving. But we can build something on these ruins that trends towards better. But you got to have the guts to do it. I mean, you know, various Christianities, keep in mind, John Calvin's Geneva was a theocratic state. And due to Calvin's misreading of Augustine, he had this concept of total depravity. And why am I bringing this up? Came the first elites of the, quote, new world here in America, were WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, chiefly of a Calvinist bent. And that doctrine of total depravity made sure that the theocratic state of Geneva under Calvin was a totalitarian tyranny. And the Puritans brought that ethos with them to America. And they established it formally through the order of skull and bones. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is a fucking fact. And it's not hard to figure this out. It's not hard to find the data that supports it. Professor Sutton did a phenomenal job of exposing this stuff. This is fact, people. This is fact. It's not a conspiracy theory, right? This is fact. It was a conspiracy, but it's a conspiracy fact. It's conspiracy realism. And really, when you think about it, right, every single state, and there's always a state, people, a state of anarchy is a temporary state trending towards some other form of organization. It is hardwired into human nature that there is a hierarchy, there is leader, there are followers, there is a structure. It just happens. By consent or conquest, it happens. There's always a state. And you're talking to somebody who, you know, in my youth was an avowed anarchist. So I'm not talking out of my ass. It's just that as I've grown, I've realized, well, you know, that's a fantasy. It's just a way station to tyranny, really. Now, don't get me wrong. I still trend towards anarchism on a local level. There are just certain things that have to be organized, but they should be so limited, that's the concept of limited government, so limited that most things are anarchic. But you have to have an ordered culture in order to have that happen. But nevertheless, there's always a state, and every state organized by man is essentially a confessional state. That's because the fundamental presuppositions upon which you base your relationship with reality are going to dictate everything downstream from that. All right, politics may be downstream from culture, but culture is downstream from the foundational presuppositions of your relationship with reality. So every state is a confessional state. It's either Christ's confessional state, or it is trending towards Lucifer's to one degree or another. You know, Locke, John Locke's neutral state with a civic religion is a Luciferian smuggle. There is no neutral state. It's a confessional state. You're just not professing Christ, so you're smuggling in Lucifer, wittingly or unwittingly. See, man's philosophy without theology is simply philosophistry. And if you know anything about the sophists, they are not to be loved, at least not for their, quote, wisdom, their inanity, insanity. So how do we get to this point? You know, like, how did that happen, this order of skull and bones? What did it do? Well, you can check out Anthony Sutton's stuff, read his books. He's done plenty of interviews, and they're available out there somewhere. But remember that these things were occult because the dominant culture at the time wouldn't tolerate it. See, the problem for the elites is they are always a few, and we are always the many. The mob is always more than the elites. And if the mob ever breaks their invisible shackles, the elites lose their fucking heads. So they're always scared of you, which is why they need to subjugate you. And when they can't openly do what they're doing right now, they do it sub rosa, undercover, as in hidden, as in occult. So first came the occult, and then their moral perversion, which is elite deviance, because they have more power, they have more money, they grow more deviant, and then they want to pump that out to you so that their deviant behavior will be accepted as normative, right? And then came the financialization, which is usury, which for the longest time was a prohibited practice in the Christian world and the Muslim world. If you look back on the history of those who engaged in usury initially, you will find that they have been evicted from more countries than any other people. This isn't anti-Semitic stuff. I'm just pointing out to you in the, you know, great Western tradition, in the two dominant confessional state type situations, usury was banned, and only a small ghettoized group engaged in it. But then eventually, especially with the reintroduction of Platonism into the West and the modern age, right? In 1453, Constantinople fell. In 1492, Spain was, the Reconquista was completed. The Muslims were evicted, and so were the Jews from Spain. And that was also when Columbus discovered, quote, the New World, right, the New World Order. That's the beginning of the modern era. And at that time, you had the Borgia papacy, and then you had the Medici, right? So the Medici, quote, Gentiles, Catholics presumably, made usury their tool and got the Vatican in on it, which then permeated throughout civilization in the West, and that eventually dominated the globe. So financialization and usury, right, that's what kind of took apart the Christian order. Then you have protest, right, the, quote, reformations, and then comes liberalism, which is, you know, liberation from the old Christian order. Then came industrialization, followed by technologization, whatever the, you know, making things more technique. And then the emergence of the scientific technicians and managerial class of banal bureaucrats. So you had the bureaucratization of all the kingdoms and then eventually the nation state, which led to basically organized mediocrity and institutionalized irresponsibility. And that's why we have what we have today. You have crypto government hidden in plain sight under the pseudo-government of the permanent bureaucratic administrative state. The secret hides in the artificial. The fakery absconds the lie. The incompetent bureaucracy hides the effective cryptocracy. And the lethality is in stealth mode. It hits you before you know you've been hit. And the only vaccination against the quarantine of sanity is a purification of your heart mind so you can apprehend the still small voice of the roaring lion of creation and come to sanity. You got to shed the animal skins of sensible insanity and irrational reason before you are consumed. And the hour is pretty fucking late. Just look around. Things are really out of hand. It's hard to take. It's really out of hand. You got the genocide that's going on, which is just horrific. And then you've just got all sorts of nonsense and insanity. Frankly, the only thing that's making sense to me these days, other than liturgy, is, you know, Operation Z over in Ukraine. Because it's a perfectly rational thing to do, and it's being executed quite well. But you've got constant, perpetual assault of bullshit brought to you by the omnipresent media of manipulation. Free speech, free press, free internet. Free for what? Free from whom? Free for whom? It's still in the culture in which you swim with meaning? Really? What meaning? Freedom for ambiguous reasons is not freedom. It's all lies. Delivered with cunning accuracy and ambiguity so that you perceive that which they want you to perceive while you believe it's your own thought. You know what we call this? This is called totalitarianism. It is all pervasive. You cannot escape it. Not by yourself, you can't. This is not an individual effort. This is the effort of the entire human family, and it is very, very, very personal. By choosing to believe cunningly constructed lies, you may feel empowered to shape your own reality and take comfort in the false sense of control that it provides. Nevertheless, the created order of which you are a part operates according to the will of God, irrespective of your opinion. Therefore, your false construct is not empowering. It is enslaving. Freedom is achieved by becoming the creature God intends you to be and employing the means which he provides you that you may be in communion with him. All in all is liberty. None in none is the slavery from which God's only begotten Son came to free you. Live free or die. That's where we are. Live free or die. How long have I been doing this? Been doing this for an hour. All right. I don't know how much longer we'll go, but if you want to talk to me, call in 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Live free or die. That's not just a slogan. It literally is the only way to live, free or die. I don't know what to do now. I'll read a couple of Facebook posts. This found its way into Butch's video, but it's still a good one. Consensus and convention are loud, seductive, overwhelming, and powerful, and more often than not, erroneous. The world spirit is illusion covering for the deceit of the father of lies. Might does not make right, but right is might. And it is the might of the Almighty. The Lord is mighty, mighty in war. Now, there's a lot going on that is designed to trip up you sane, conservative, right-wing Christians of one stripe or another. And that was this allegedly leaked preliminary decision of the Supreme Court to, quote, reverse Roe v. Wade, right? Which is a fucking ploy that it admits so much, but the narrative is always designed to push you towards CNN or Fox News, to push you towards the left or the right, and to keep you in this dialectical tension. First of all, well, they're passing a bill to enshrine Roe v. Wade in law. Well, okay. Does that mean that what we've been saying for 50 fucking years, that Roe v. Wade is not law, is true? Yeah, it is. It's not law. It's de facto pseudo-law. It acts as law, but it is not law. It was a unconstitutional, poorly reasoned decision by the Supreme Court, the supreme law of the land, and the Supreme Court, to basically federalize abortion restrictions or prohibitions. It's not like abortions weren't going on before 1973, right? Oh, they're legal, hanger, coat hanger, back alley, blah, fuck. How the fuck is making abortion illegal going to create an illegal market in abortions? This is the argument we're getting from the same people that are saying we need to ban your AR-15s because of gun violence. Guns are randomly killing people, so we need to ban the guns. Won't that just create a back alley gun industry, you fucking faggots? But for all you righties that are spending money and getting all excited about this decision, this is a bad decision. Because now instead of fighting in one place, city of human life, you'll have to fight in 50 fucking states. Because if they, quote, undo Roe, places like New York and Vermont and California will have no restrictions on abortion. Shit, these fucking psychotic, quote, feminists want babies killed after they're born if the woman chooses. It's all about the woman's choice. Apparently you can choose to be a murderer if you have a vagina, which, if I understand correctly, includes you men, because from what I understand, men can get pregnant, and women can have penises, and everything is fucking insane. But, just to be fair, because I don't want to offend you delicate snowflakes and your emotional sensibilities, in light of your sudden concern for sexual deviance with body dysmorphic disorders, shooting and killing a few children who will no longer be taught about equity and sodomy in government schools, may I recommend that you be more concerned over the more than 3,000 babies who are murdered in this country every day, over a third who are not Caucasian. Do the math. Perhaps we should, arm the embryos, fetuses and zygotes, so that they can defend themselves. Because only an armed target may avoid becoming a victim. Look, it's a tragedy that, 19 kids were killed in a school. Maybe. I mean, if it happened. I'm not saying it didn't. I haven't paid all that much attention to it, but it is kind of a suspicious thing. especially with the timing after the exercise and the lockdown that they did in that school, the fact that they have an AI program designed to profile shooters just like this guy, the fact that he had a, quote, therapist, the fact that he had pretty nice fucking guns that, shit, I'd like to pick up a couple, but they're not cheap. Apparently I need a job at Burger King to pick up Daniel Defense rifles. Right at the same time as the, quote, NRA convention. It's all just very suspicious, and it's because you need to be disarmed. So if you were disarmed, you'd be like Australia. You do whatever the fuck they told you to do. But because you're not, you could be rambunctious. And gun also makes you realize how useless cops are. You have to be the police. You have to be the soldier. But if you think the NRA is really there to protect your gun rights, you're insane. The NRA is just like the pro-life lobby. the problem that they are raising money and fighting against is the problem they need for their very existence. They don't want to solve the problem because then they would have no justification for their existence. It's sort of like your physician. If you weren't sick, he'd have no drugs to prescribe you. So you have to be sick so that he can prescribe you the drugs. And then the drugs make you sick so that he prescribes you more drugs. So make sure you get your triple jab, put your mask on, Schwab your ass, and bow down before the New World Order. Look, these things are easy to fix if you had the balls to do it, but you're running out of fucking time. But, you know, let's play the ideal world kind of situation. I put this, well, John Rolfe put this on Facebook earlier. If every able-bodied man between 16 and 60 were armed, trained, and organized in the militia with specialized units to serve a permanent policing function under a locally elected sheriff, and you had fair and open courts with elected judges, as well as a production-based currency issued by the Treasury and inflated to coincide with your population increase and wealth output, you wouldn't need any more government than that. And all the assholes fucking with you right now would be locked up or deceased. Instead, they're in Davos plotting your demise, technocracy grant. We're not there yet, but we're pretty fucking close. Without your privately owned firearms, you would be living in the United States of Australia, which is a penal colony of unarmed cucks. And in America, we need more guns and more ammunition in the hands of citizens, and we need strong banker control laws, including the bankers' agents like the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, the courts, and Congress. That would solve a lot of our fucking problems. Yet more and more people are aware of this now. They just have to be made aware of the solution. The solution is not to go back to some, you know, Trumpian MAGA 2.0 18th century piece of parchment jerk-off session. It is to go forward to something better. The path is ugly and dark, but it has to be taken. And you got to keep in mind that the operation continues because there's it's like Janus, right? It's two-faced, right? They come at you from different sides, different angles, with a publicly stated agenda and then the real agenda underneath. And the publicly stated agenda is probably believed by a lot of the functioning bureaucrats, and it only takes a few manipulators to push it from underneath. And you get two faces, right? You get the CIA and the State Department. They come at you from different angles, same agenda. The Order of Skull and Bones, the CFR, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, fronts like the World Economic Forum, the UN, the WHO, with their fucking, you know, pandemic treaty, giving the WHO sovereignty, bypassing power to dictate what happens in a health emergency, whatever the fuck a health or / medical emergency is undefined, open to interpretation. They managed to convince you that something called COVID-19 was such a terrible disease that you had to take an experimental jab of something that you have no fucking idea what it is now murdering people. So if that's a medical emergency, they can do whatever the fuck they want, and it would be, quote, legal. No recourse, legally speaking. You can't take them to court over it, possibly a war crimes tribunal. You know, the open society is closed, and it appears open through deception. It's an illusion. The closed society suppresses extra-authoritarian manipulation, color revolutions and such, hence the locus of problems and theoretically solutions. Is the government of the society government. So that, keep in mind that the society government, that comprises the state, the nation state, and the polity. This is the idea of the polis. It's not some bifurcated reality where you have these various departments and bureaucracies and this thing called government and everything else is private. The state, a holistic whole, because we live in society. Human beings are social animals. We live in society, and that society has to be governed. how we govern it is contingent upon who we are and what we permit, what we promote, and what we tolerate. And the problem that you have right now is that you're tolerating evil, embracing evil, and having evil shoved down your throat, and it's called good. And you're either helpless or you're cheering it on. You have to fight back. Look, right now you got the Ukrainian church is teasing with schism from the Moscow Patriarchate over Operation Z at the behest of the Luciferian CIA. And that isn't just a Ukraine thing. It's not just an Orthodox thing. This has global implications. Ukraine is the locus. Keep in mind, one fucking Serb shot an Austrian royalty in, what is it, Albania, and triggered the entire fucking process that has brought the modern world into fruition through totalitarian war. So don't think that Ukraine is some minor issue that doesn't matter. It matters a lot. And luckily the Russians seem to be encircling and giving it to these Nazi, CIA, WEF, NATO, Gladio units. Really this thing should be ending soon. But I don't know that, quote, our side has any intentions for that. It's hard to tell where it's going to go, but if it can be escalated to stupidity, murder, and death, we'll probably do it on our, quote, our side. But hopefully the Russians are more sober and can outmaneuver this nonsense. But your, quote, good guys are liars, right? Butch posted this, so it was last week, a Palestinian-American journalist was murdered by the IDF, right? But stand with Israel. In the meantime, Putin is a thug because he kills journalists, right? That's why we have to liberate the Ukrainian Nazis, because Putin kills journalists. Really? Look at Mike Pompeo, State Department CIA director. He's been trying to choke and murder Julian Assange. But Putin's the bad guy. See how stupid all this nonsense is? Right? Meanwhile, in, you know, Big Red, Texas, the cops participate in exercise of post-birth abortion, utilizing a CIA mind-fucked FBI asset who thinks he's a chick. But we love our police, right? All righties love cops and soldiers. Fuck off out of here with that bullshit. You're the police. You're the soldier. Protect your kids. I guess I should do a PSA because today is the 29th, so tomorrow is Decoration Day. Memorial Day is not Veterans Day. It is a day to remember the war dead, both those who fought valiantly for our freedom and defense and all the dumb sons of bitches who died as New World Order stooge enforcers. May God have mercy on the latter. Your military is the enforcement arm of globalists. There is nothing honorable about it.
Oh, Rex, you sound like an anti-war lefty.
Yeah, well, fuck you. I mean, enough already with the bullshit categories of false political ideologies. The fact of the matter is that many men, brave men and women, have fought and died in our military to actually defend us or preserve our freedom. But not in fucking Middle Eastern deserts. Not in fucking Ukraine. Not in fucking Grenada or Panama either. Ever since World War II ended, we've basically become the, you know, Team America World Police for the globalists. There's no honor in that. I'm not saying there's no honor in military service. I'm not saying that we don't need the military. What I'm saying is that there's no honor in serving as the military arm of the New World Order. That's why the militia was pre-existent to the rebellion and the Constitution. See, in this country, unlike other countries, we didn't need to be given the franchise to own arms. We already fucking owned the arms. Our right to bear arms pre-exists the Constitution. We owned the fucking arms. We were organized in militia. And until we have that back, we'll be subject to their control. I mean, keep in mind something. We may not have a militia, but we have so many fucking guns that we're kind of a de facto militia that they're scared shitless of having to go door-to-door and fight all of us. They have to get us to submit. They have to get us to give up our guns and ammo. It's not that we're going into a civil war. We're in a civil war. It's just not a shooting war. It's an info war, a psychological war. But keep in mind something. If it wasn't backed up by the potential to go guns up, we'd already be rolled over. If you can't go weapons hot, nothing you say in opposition to what's coming at you will matter. And hopefully we don't have to go weapons hot. Hopefully we can win this thing through awareness and making some smart strategic decisions. But it looks fucking bleak, so you really need to focus up. It's late. It's late, and we need to get this done. All right, it's been 90 minutes. Let's see if we can wrap this up. Anybody calling in? I haven't seen anybody. Nobody pushed the button. All right, last chance. If you want to talk to me, 646-649-1013, 646-649-1013. I'll just do this until someone calls in, or I'll end the show. You got to keep in mind that, well, we're all members of an international community, right? There is no international community. There is war, and there's the brotherhood of man in Christ. You're either with him or you're at war with him. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Often the war is cold, but when those outside the mystical body move, war is the result, and death is dealt by the murderer from the beginning and predicated upon his damnable lies. And if you're going to get all sentimental about all this stuff I'm talking about, just know that your sentimentalism disgusts me. I want you to understand something. Around here, right, outside of D.C. in Virginia, we have been inundated with this Fairfax courthouse trial of Johnny Depp versus Miss Heard, Amber Heard. A lot of people think it's a distraction, which it can be, but sometimes distractions are insightful. It's actually a very interesting legal case, and it has profound implications for our culture. It's actually, and it points to the things that I've just spent 90 minutes talking to you about and how they've played out, with the confusion of how we don't know who we are anymore. Keep in mind, Depp is older than me. He's, I want to say, 58, right? So he's the tip of the spear of Generation X. The tail end of the boomers, the tip of the spear for Generation X. We grew up in a pretty fucked up world, right? This is post-sexual liberation, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, cultural degeneracy, the breakup of the integral family, marriage as a sacrament. You look at any of the statistics over the last 50 years, it's fucking horrible, most especially abortion, murdering innocent babies under some kind of pretext of privacy, women's rights, and some kind of scientific convoluted definition of what a human person is. Well, we know what a human person is. And every one of those babies from the moment of conception is a human person. We even put it in our Constitution. The Fifth Amendment says that no person may be deprived of life, liberty, or the pursuit of property. Not pursuit of property. Life, liberty, or property without due process of law. You want to murder a baby? Put the baby on trial. Innocent until proven guilty? Tell me what guilt a pre-born child has that allows you to execute it. You fucking sick people. This is not something to have a 50-year debate about. If you're killing your children, you're killing your future. You have no value for life. This is intolerable. But that's where we are. And reversing Roe will simply push this to the states. What we need is to vigorously define what a person is, include all those from conception to natural death and then apply that law in every, quote, free state in the Union. You always have a choice. You always have a choice. Don't have sex. There will be no baby. But the right choice is get married, young, stay together, have lots of babies. That is your only future. Or you're going to be overrun by a third world horde that is prone to socialism and corruption, and it will overrun the last vestiges of your rotten culture and leave you barren. Get your heads out of your asses. We live here too. So Johnny Depp's kind of, you know, fucked up. To some degree, we all are. Okay? And fuck. All the stuff that he's done, I can't say that I've done all of it, but, you know, I've done quite a bit of it. Most of us, unfortunately, have. But what this psychopathic, sociopathic bitch has done to him is unbelievable. And the institutional, and I'm talking about journalism, the courts, the commercial enterprises, what our general cultural trend has made him the victim because he can't fight back until now. And that's why this case is important. But if you look at her behavior, and frankly, I mean, it's a lot of 6 weeks of fucking trial. It's ridiculous. But there's a lot of really interesting testimony in those trials. But you can get a synopsis. You usually find it good places like don't go to Legal Bites. There's a lot of shenanigans there, high school games going. Recchietta Law, that umbrella guy, or as Elaine calls him, the umbrella man. There's some interesting intricacies of the case. But what you find is this sociopathic whore who's easy on the eyes, that's how seductive evil is, the way she profiled him, the way she manipulates him, the way she manipulates the media, the way she puts her friends under control, the way she uses people using a splitter strategy. See, sociopaths have to tell you this and tell the other person that and never let you two compare notes, and it's a splitter strategy. It's like compartmentalizing your victims so that they can't put the story together. And then on the stand, the whole thing unravels, but she sticks to her guns because these people, they know they're lying from the beginning, but firmly believe the lies because that's how they convince you to fall into their trap. And if you think about it, this behavior of Miss Heard, including shitting the bed, is precisely the way the Judeo-Luciferians manipulate you writ large. I don't know a lot of people have put this together because most of the commentary is focused strictly on, you know, man versus woman. Men can be victims too, domestic abuse, borderline personality disorder, histrionic disorder, and kind of like the whole justice for Johnny case, which is well and good, but an example case. If you get into it, you can see this behavior in real time with familiar cultural markers and how it plays out in every other aspect of our society. That's how degenerate it has become, and that is how these people have operated, like their father, from the beginning of time. If you took the CIA and put it into the body of a certain Aquanet actress, it would be Amber Heard. That's how they operate. Now, she's not that bright, but she's cunning. This is how it operates. And it's frightening to see it in an interpersonal level. Granted, it's celebutards, but that's what makes it interesting. Most of us have experienced this to one degree or another in our lives. That behavior, which is it's an evil behavior. It's sociopathic. It profiles you. It finds your probes for your weaknesses and then seduces and threatens in order to manipulate you. This is the behavior your ruling elite, your power elite, have been engaged in for decades, if not more than a century, probably, I mean, definitely more than a century, but the mass society and the mass media has made it far more of a pandemic of manipulation than it used to be. Now, hopefully, I think the jury comes back Tuesday, and hopefully they'll deliver justice for Johnny Depp, because he is a, quote, cultural icon, and therefore delivering him justice is a good way to kind of get the ball rolling in the right direction. Now, there was another case going on. The jury went into deliberation on Friday, too. That's the Michael Sussman, John Durham thing. I paid less attention to that. Oh, Rex, why are you paying attention to celebutard distraction and not the real case with John Durham? Because the case with John Durham is more of a celebutard fucking distraction than the one with Johnny Depp. That's why. You fucking think that these people are going to do anything other than hang a few fucking low-level FBI agents out, you know, with a slap on the wrist and blame the FBI in order to cover up for what the fucking CIA did? And the Hillary campaign and everything else? It's not going anywhere. I'm not being but you're engaged in way too much fucking hopium if you think that, you know, this shit's going to go down that way. The solution has to be extrajudicial. Your institutions are too fucking corrupt. That Sussman case is going nowhere. Now, hopefully when the jury comes back, they make the right decision. I don't give a shit how much money they do or don't give this guy. It's a symbolic thing. He's going to be fucking rich anyway, so it's fine. But, you know, good old Captain Jack is a fuck-up. He is an atheist. He is a drug addict. He's fucked up beyond recognition in many ways, right? But he also hangs out with Alice Cooper. Now, some of you probably think Alice Cooper is frightening. I think he's entertaining. But Alice is actually a Christian of sorts. He falls probably into that boomer business church type Christianity. But at least there's a little something there. He managed to get Dave Ellison and Dave Mustaine at Megadeth, you know, to give up their ways and start focusing on Christ. You know, a simple piety and love of Christ is a very good starting point, irrespective of the erroneous theology. And I won't go easy on the erroneous theology, but the simple faith is a good start. Okay, I didn't even have that, although I always thought that Jesus was a cool dude. But if not for the grace of my baptism, I don't know that I would have come back to the mystical body. And, you know, every day I'm thankful for the blessings that's given me. You really need to think hard about that, because that's the foundational issue at the core of the matter. I wasn't kidding when I said it, and it's very serious. But if you could think through the Johnny Depp trial and look at Amber Heard's sociopathic behavior, right? And then, you know, there's an issue coming up with Marilyn Manson, who's kind of like an Alice Cooper type thing. This is all stage shtick, okay? But, and if I'm not mistaken, you know, even though he's kind of retarded, Brad Pitt has a problem with Angelina Jolie and hasn't been able to see his kids for like 6 years. There is definitely a problem here. This is an attack on the family writ large. It's been going on for a long time, and the solution is to re-sacramentalize matrimony. That is the core foundation of the human family. And the human family is the basic building block of society. If you get the human family wrong, everything else will be fucked up. That's what we have to rebuild. But our power elite intentionally corrupt us while they inbreed and promote their own kind. Now, I call them the power elite. That's because that's what C. Wright Mills called them. When did he write his book? The book's actually called The Power Elite. I just reread it recently. I think it was published in 1956. It's amazing how much of the stuff that he observed and wrote is fucking spot on, people. It really is just spot on. There's this one, and a lot of people nonsense about, well, you have a conspiracy theory-minded way of looking at things. Well, duh, is it fucking obvious or what? But more and more people than ever now see the conspiracy play out. It's just that sometimes we can't quite put our fingers on it because it seems impossible that, quote, a New World Order conspiracy can happen in plain sight and we allow it and don't even know it's happening. But It's part of that compartmentalization, that splitter strategy that sociopaths use, sociopaths like Amber Heard. And it's not that hard. Once you have the institutions in place, you can manipulate them just by threatening or by incentivizing. And it doesn't take long. This is, again, The Power of the Elite, C. Wright Mills. I'm reading from page 37. He's writing about, you know, how they make these things happen. He says, we would not go into the associations, as you call them. That is not the right way. One powerful man of a sizable city in the Mid-South told Professor Floyd Hunter, a lot of those associations, if you mean by associations the Chamber of Commerce or the Community Council, sit around and discuss goals and ideals. I don't know what a lot of those things mean. I'll be frank with you. I do not get onto a lot of those committees. A lot of the others in town do, but I don't. Charles Homer is the biggest man in our crowd. When he gets an idea, others will get the idea. Recently, he got the idea that regional cities should be the national headquarters for the International Trade Council. He called in some of us, the inner crowd, and he talked briefly about his idea. He did not talk much. We do not engage in loose talk about the ideals of the situation and all that other stuff. We get right down to the problem, that is, how to get this council. We all think it is a good, right idea around the circle. There are six of us in the meeting. All of us are assigned tasks to carry out. Mulster is to drop the papers of incorporation. He's the lawyer. I have a group of friends that I will carry along. Everyone else has a group of friends he will do the same with. These fellows are what you might call followers. We decided we needed to raise $65,000 to put this thing over. We could raise that amount within our own crowd, but eventually the thing is going to be a community proposition, so we decided to bring the other crowds in on the deal. We decided to have a meeting at the Grandview Club with the select members of our other crowds. When we meet at the club at the dinner with the other crowds, Mr. Homer makes a brief talk. Again, he does not need to talk long. He ends his talk by saying he believes in his proposition enough that he's willing to put $10,000 of his own money into it for the first year. He sits down. You can see some of the other crowds getting their heads together, and Growers Bank crowd, not to be outdone, offers a like amount plus a guarantee that they will go along with the project for 3 years. Others throw in $5,000 to $10,000 until I say within 30 or 40 minutes we have pledges of the money we need. In 3 hours, the whole thing is settled, including the time for eating. There is one detail I left out, and it is an important one. We went into that meeting with a board of directors picked. The Constitution was all written. And the man who was to head the council as executive was named. A third string man, a fellow who will take advice. The public doesn't know anything about the project until it reaches the stage I've been talking about. After the matter is financially sound, then we go to the newspapers and say there is a proposal for consideration. Of course, it is not news to a lot of people by then, but the chamber committees and other civic organizations are brought in on the idea. They all think it's a good idea. They help to get the council located and established. That's about all there is to it. Men with money and power can move a lot of things just like that. How the fuck do you think the National Security Act of 1947 was passed and the OSS was recoagulated as the CIA under the guidance and pressure of British intelligence? How do you think the CFR, which is an adjunct of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, manages essentially to run the British Empire with American enforcement for the past 80 years. That's really all there is to it. And it's the unawareness and apathy that most people have in the, you know, naked pejorative way of that using that word, that allows this to go on, the unawareness, the lack of interest, because there's no foundational attachment to truth. We're all distracted by our baubles and consumer goods and sexual pleasures and prescription recreational drugs and frivolous entertainments and streaming services and all this other bullshit with which we occupy ourselves. That's it. You know? And then, you know, I could go on with this book, but frankly, I think I've done this long enough, and I don't want it to be too long. We're almost 2 hours, but I'll just read a couple more, just, and then we'll close. There's another really good book that you should read called The Confessions of a Monopolist. And he talks there about, you know, the secret of great wealth, and I have studied this problem like one in mathematics for a quarter of a century, is to make society work for you. If you cannot do that, be content to have America work for you. If that is impossible, get some city. Even the latter is a big enough proposition to put millions in your purse. That's how globalism happens, people. This may seem like a Chinese puzzle, but it's true, and it is the most valuable business principle worth knowing. Mr. Rockefeller may think he made his hundreds of millions by economy by saving on his gas bills, but he didn't. He knows he didn't. He managed to get the people of the globe to work for him. He did it by securing a monopoly of a commodity that all the world used. And Carnegie, Morgan, Vanderbilt, Gould, Astor, Hill, and Harriman, the big leaders of finance, did the same thing. Only they were less ambitious. They were content with one nation. Well, that might have been true 100 years ago. They confined their operation to America. Unconsciously at first, I did the same thing, followed the same idea, but it has finally become a conscious business principle and one that I never depart from. Only I was content with a growing city with occasional excursions into the state. Now, you won't find anything about this in books on political economy. From reading them, you would think that all wealth was the result of human labor. At least that was true when I was in college. It may be that the economists have grown wiser since that time. They haven't. But the fact that you don't find it in the books makes it nonetheless true. If you have millions of consumers of oil under your control, it is only necessary to add a penny to the gallon to build a palace or establish a university from the increase in earnings. If you own a big railway system, you need increased freight rates, but a fraction of a cent and a small fraction at that, to put on a new issue of stock and have it pay dividends from the start. And if you own a franchise and can get a portion of a cent to your fares or a few cents a thousand to your gas, your returns will come in at the end of the quarter in a way that will surprise you. This is the way to make millions. Make society work for you. For if you can pick the pennies from the pockets of the public in large enough quantities, it is better than a big reduction in wages, better than a diamond mine, for by simply processing the process of addition, the pennies of the millions make up the millions of the few. You think he's talking about money, which in a sense he is, but there's another layer about which he's talking about. Control. Power. Money is the means by which they do it. It is just absolutely incredible. And lest you think that it's only money, here's page 170 from The Power Elite, right? We should, however, be quite mistaken to believe that the political apparatus is merely an extension of the corporate world, or that it has been taken over by the representatives of the corporate rich. The American government is not in any simple way, nor as a structural fact, a committee of the ruling class. It is a network of committees, and other men from other hierarchies besides the corporate rich sit in these committees. Of these, the professional politician himself is the most complicated, but the high military, the warlords of Washington, are the newest in 1956. We must guard ourselves against the acquisition of unwanted power by the military-industrial congressional complex. Well, it's elevated even more. It's not military leaders. It's the, quote, intelligence community. It is not simply weaponry. It is all technology in the modern era. And these interlocking committees of hierarchies can easily be manipulated by a handful of a few simply by having one man influencing the others who are leaders in that area to foment this whole scheme. And through coercion, blackmail, and incentivization, you can have thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions working within, quote, your conspiracy for their own reasons that are being manipulated by a few at specific fulcrums. That's what the World Economic Forum is about. When Kahn and Kissinger and I think it was Schwab at the time, came up with this idea, it was just the front face of an occult conspiracy that even those three are simply bit players in. But the Great Reset is just the New World Order in a technological format repackaged for the false industrial revolution and the post-COVID hoax era to bring us to the technocratic singularity. I'm going to close now because I'm tired. Almost been 2 hours, and nobody bothered to call in. I feel so lonely. I'm all by myself here. No one wants to talk to me. But just please make sure you share the show. Tell people where to find it. Find it on Butch's channels. That's Bond Robin on Rumble, Bond Robin on BitChute, Bond Robin on Gab and Gab TV. And, of course, this show, free MP3 downloads available in about 1 hour at blogtalkradio.com/Liberty's Thunder. This is Pirate Radio. I'm Thundersaurus Rex. Nobody knows this rant, conversation, lesson, who the fuck knows what it is, happened for the past 2 hours unless you tell them that it happened, why they should listen, and take what I'm telling you and do something with it, because otherwise it's a waste of my fucking time. Now, granted, I've also been instructed to do this because if I don't get this off my chest, I become unbearable to those around me. So it is somewhat cathartic, I guess. But you crave peace. You crave peace. That's natural. However, we're conditioned to crave a false peace, right? This is irreconcilable dialectics. How can it be irreconcilable? Well, you crave a false peace. Death is a restless peace. Peace is in the absence of conflict because freedom has been sacrificed on the altar of pride, ushering in the eternal torment that manifests personally forever. Now, Christ came to give you peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But the sport is war, total war, and victory is the crown of glory. Hence, we are a violent species, and we are engaged in perpetual conflict this side of the veil. Lucifer's pride induced him to violence against God. Lucifer induced Adam's pride to violence against God. Cain murdered Abel. So we fight, except when tolerance and compromise yield a temporary cessation of hostilities within limits, right? But often it is wise to tolerate evils. What? Rex, how can you say that? You said irreconcilable dialectics. What are you telling me to tolerate evil? Yeah, except it is sometimes wise to tolerate evils for the social good when confronting those evils yields a graver danger, right? But the minds that molded the modern age in which we find ourselves, when Locke and Rousseau and Hobbes and their ilk determined that a civil religion is required to keep social order, they denuded civilization of true principles and replaced it with a pseudo-objective false neutrality. And religion became the opiate of the intellectual scientific elite technocrats who engineered the opium of the masses by dissolving true religion and recoagulating it into various cults, and spiritualities, and pseudo-religions hurtling toward the one-world religion, which will appear as whatever syncretic fantasy you have imbibed upon. And for many in the West, it'll appear as Christian. Even if it's from the fucking space aliens, when they land, they'll deliver an updated version of a cosmic alien Christ, and it'll appear Christian. You've imbibed upon it for many... I mean, it's already done this to you, fools. There is no peace when this becomes absolute. So it's a false peace. It's nothing but conflict and death. Because between truth and lie, there is no compromise. Between God and the devil... Between God and evil, there is no synthesis. The inner personal conflict of a broken will, desirous of God, yet yearning for nothing, is a selfish torture manifesting in the dialectical dance of death in a state of perpetual conflict. These are irreconcilable dialectics. Hence, there is no room for tolerance. There is only victor or vanquished. When you attempt to synthesize purity with corruption, you have only a continuum of conflict. For purity and corruption are irreconcilable, and tolerance is morphed into a deceitful delay to disarm you. To disarm you in battle so that instead of a valiant effort to transcend yourself, personally and socially, you get a compromise with corruption and the disappointment of decay. Rise, O sleeper. Rise to the battle at hand. It is personal. It is social. It is total. And it is cosmic. I'm not as young as I used to be. And I'm not as old as I hope to get. And I know that eventually this body will die. And frankly, that pisses me off. We are supposed to grow old. I mean, you know, in our current state, we're supposed to grow old. But initially, we weren't supposed to grow old, which is really just, it's an anodyne manner of saying our bodies grow, mature, then decay and die. We aren't supposed to be corrupted. We aren't supposed to die. Nobody is old enough to deserve death, and everybody dies too young, especially those who are never permitted to be born in the first place. The enemy isn't aging per se. I mean, we should age. We should grow wiser and holier forever. The enemy is death. Death is the enemy that induces us to sin. Sin is the misbehavior and corruption that causes entropy, corruption, and death. Death sucks. Death is inevitable. Life is a choice. Life is a gift. We could be heroes, but most of the time we aren't. So stop with the salving of the emotions and the psychological avoidance of the inevitable death we all suffer. Face it boldly and with the one who conquered sin and death, because he is the resurrection and the life. Go forth and conquer. These are irreconcilable dialectics. You have to break them. You have to conquer them. You have to transcend them. And you have to build something better than that which was destroyed before. This is Rex signing off, and the thunder of liberty rumbles on.
What other countries are doing to us, China, everyone. They're killing us on trade. If I'm elected president, we will win, and we will win, and we will win. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump, thank you.